everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Place in the Conversation. We're very glad to have you join us today, and we're excited to have Leah Reynolds from CACS joining us today, along with Nick Everhart. So, Leah, why don't you take a moment, introduce yourself, and introduce CACS.
Hi, I am Leah Reynolds, Executive Director of Kennett Area Community Service, home of the Kennett Food Cupboard. Kennett Area Community Service has been in this community for over 67 years in one location or another as the food cupboard. And then somewhere in 2013, I think, the social work element was added because it was revealed through the food distribution that we were doing for families that social work was needed. There were other problems in poor families and they needed some help. The social work element grew. And they purchased the little building next to the food cupboard on West Cedar Street, 2015 maybe, renovated it, and it became the home where there were offices for the social workers, a classroom for our Getting Ahead program, and then showers and laundry for the people that are homeless.
Great. Fantastic. So, Leah, what did you spend just a few minutes and talk about what goes on at CACS, what some of the services are that are offered, and how you help meet the needs of people in our community.
Sure. So CACS delivers essential life-sustaining services for free, food and shelter, basic needs that every human being must have to survive, food and shelter. And through these different programs that we've been able to create, we have a food pantry that people come in and pick the food their family would prefer. So they're not just handed a box of food and said, listen, you're poor, hope you like what you get. People are given the opportunity for choice. So they come in and they shop once a month and they get a 7 to 10 day supply of food. And if they run out of food and need help, they can come back for an emergency box within the same month. And so emergency assistance and crisis services is where social workers kind of help dig in and figure out how can we help a family. So let's say a family has a disruption in the unit. One of the family breadwinners passes away unexpectedly, has a health issue, can't provide anymore, and they need help with rent or a water bill or electric bill. We have an intake process. We ask for documentation around sustainability. We look at the bill, and then we make a payment to the utility company or the landlord to help the family stay in their home. We call that homelessness prevention. And then we have folks that are truly homeless or imminently homeless that we try to find some hotel shelter for, that because there are no shelters in Southern Chester County for people that are homeless. We put them in a hotel, and then we work hard to find stable housing for them. And these folks are generally getting up every day and going to work, but they just don't have a stable housing situation happening. So it really disrupts everything, right? They can't get the ID, the mail, anywhere. Like, it's just really chaos for the family. And that's what we've been doing for years. Our Getting Ahead program is a 16-week workshop for adults, and it really helps people look at the challenges in their lives around, like, why am I trapped in this circle of poverty? Sometimes it's generational poverty. And so we've had about 130 or 50 graduates now from our Getting Ahead workshops. One of our graduates called me 2 years ago and said, I want you to tell everybody that because of Getting Ahead, I'm getting my master's degree in cybersecurity and analytics. And this woman came to CACS and needed help with an electric bill years before that. She was a single mother, and we found, she found out she qualified for the food cupboard as well. So she'd been coming every month for the food cupboard to help with her, financial monthly budget. Her and her daughter will never need CACS or an organization like CACS again.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the beauty of CACS. And when I was pastor at First Baptist, CACS was one of the first places that I would send people because I knew that, we could provide a little bit of help and maybe, meet an immediate need, but not the long-term picture, right?
Yeah.
And it's the long-term picture that is most important. And so when people would come and would ask for help, part of my first answer would be, hey, have you been to CACS? And if you haven't, you need to get there and we would come alongside CACs and say, let us help this person through CACs, because that's the healthier, long-term, you know, sustaining people kind of solution, rather than, you know, just handing out money to people
right.
that just meets one need for a day. You know, let's help people for a long term. So I really am thankful for CACs and what it means for our community.
It is a unique organization in that it does both of these things, right? Because most organizations can do the crisis stuff and then that's all they really have the capacity to do. But because of the community's whole generosity and churches like First Baptist and people like you and others that are listening to this podcast that have supported this organization with a food donation or a monetary donation, have helped sustain this and let it grow so that CACs can be there for the crisis and work to build the relationship. Because it is that model that we use at CACs. It's called Bridges Out of Poverty. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of concepts about that. And one of them is relationship building. So when the person goes through the intake process with the social worker, they're not just asking a bunch of questions to check off the box. The social workers are working really hard to connect with the human being and to see, well, how else can we help you? And so we have great relationships with all the different agencies and organizations that might offer a different service that CACs does, like MCHC, Young Moms, TikTok, The Garage, you name it, we work with them. And LCH, I mean, so many, I'm not going to name them all and be accurate probably because I can't name them all, but they've all been fantastic collaborative partners. Meeting people where they're at is one of those tenets of the Bridges Out of Poverty model. And having a collective impact, you know, coming together to help people through the tough times. We have the poorest of the poor in this community come to us. We don't turn anyone away for food, no one. So when COVID hit, for example, we had, from that moment on until even today, we had a 300% increase in everything, emergency services, food requests, and it was unending. People came from Delaware, parts of Maryland, different parts of Pennsylvania, and asked for food. And even though they were outside of the service area, the mission is we don't turn people away for food. So we would give people food and then give them an address of a food bank closer to them so they could save their gas money. And people really seemed to abide by that. You know, we helped them in that moment, and then they tried to seek help and resources closer to where they lived, which would be appropriate. And, you know, it's easier for people to wrap their minds around that stuff. We have, the last several years before COVID, about 550 families registered as monthly shoppers at CACs. That equaled about 900 children. We have now over 700 households registered. We do deliveries to households who can't get to us for shopping. So we do about 130 monthly deliveries. Most of those are seniors. People really depend on us every month to bring that food. It helps people.
Yeah, it really does. And I know for a short time, I was a volunteer there helping in the shopping area, on taking the donations that came in and getting them into the right places, sorting and putting things in the right places. Why don't you talk about ways in which people can help at CACs? Because it was a great thing to do. I enjoyed it. I just physically, I couldn't stand for the length of time that I needed to sort stuff. And I found it exhausting. And so I had to say, you know what? While this is a good thing, this isn't quite good for me right now.
Right.
But it was, one of the things that I found fascinating about it was that while I was sorting all of the food that had been donated, it's like you couldn't get ahead sometimes because there was more food coming in, and that was great to see. And I really appreciated the shopping aspect of it because it does look like a supermarket. And families come in and they can get what they want and they pick it. So why don't you talk about ways in which people, if they want to volunteer their time with CACs, what are you looking for? What's helpful for you?
Food, always food, food donations, people to do food drives off-site and bring them to us to help us help others. That's really critical. When you were there, we had consistent food drives coming in. Food inflation, food prices, everything got harder. And we have a harder time now filling the shelves. I also have an increase in the numbers of people coming, individuals. Over 2,000 individuals a month need food from our food cupboard. I believe we did almost 72,000 pounds of food were distributed last month. I think that's the accurate data. And so when you're doing numbers like this, you need the food coming in all the time. So if we could have perpetual food drives, people think, hey, we're going to do a food drive for CACS. They gather up the food. They're wonderful. They bring it. They drop it off. And then they forget about us the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Human beings must eat something once a day. Mm-hmm. It is essential. It's basic for all of us. So we really need people to think about it differently, to try to do perpetual food drives. And so to volunteer, do food drives. Go on our website. Volunteer application is there. We need all different kinds of volunteers. We need people to move the food around. We've got daily pickups to Redner, Acme, Giant, Walmart, wherever, and we see what they have to give us. So we have volunteers that drive our little trucks around. They pick that up, bring it back, and they sort it out. We've got volunteers who set up on the mornings of food distribution days. They're very busy. They pull out the produce. They make sure all the meat's in the meat freezer for people to make a choice on their proteins. They make it look as welcoming and plentiful as possible. And then we have volunteer shoppers who actually work with the family that comes in. Each household has their own volunteer shopper that takes them around and helps them pick, you know, how many items from each shelf, depending on how large your family size is. And they walk you through the process. And then we've got volunteers on board committees helping us grow the organization and do these other goals that we now have. We really have them at all different levels, volunteers. And so I can't imagine somebody's passion for something doesn't connect to a need we have.
That's it. That's fantastic. So when you talk about these food drives, I imagine there's seasons of the year where there's more food drives than others. I guess I'm going to call it a desert. What's the desert seasons where people aren't doing food drives, where if somebody's listening and saying, hey, I want to do a food drive for CACS, where you would say, boy, I would love you to do a food drive during this season because nobody else is thinking about us.
I am so glad you asked that question. You know, we're coming into the holiday season, right? And everybody says, oh, that's the season. Tis the season. The season. The season comes to an abrupt end on January 1st. January and February are the hardest times of the year, are the food desert times for us. It's very difficult. And another weird month that's very difficult to get anybody to bring us food is August. Many people are trying to take their last vacation, so they're out of the area. They're not thinking about anything else but vacation, right? And you don't blame them, but like August is a really tough month. Yeah. So it's interesting to me how hard January and February really are after months of talking about the holiday spirit and the tis the season. And it's like all of a sudden, it's all really over January 1.
Okay. Well, everybody, you've listened to that. You've heard it. So if you're looking for something good to do, January, February, and the month of August, maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your church. Maybe it's a civic organization that you're a part of. I mean, it would be amazing for you to be able to host a food drive for CACS, maybe at a different time than you normally do it, but it would certainly meet a need. So, Nick, you look like you've got a question you want to ask.
Well, I do. On Sunday, I happened to walk by your facility on Cedar Street, I guess, and you've been talking about how you have a board that's looking at growth, and you have more families, and you're storing all this food. You must be running out of space. You must need a bigger facility. Do you have any plans in that direction?
Yes, we have some exciting plans, and they're really recent developments. About a year ago, Nancy and Mike Pia offered to donate almost 6 acres of flat land, not a mile from where we're at, across from College Tire on West Cypress Street. And I couldn't have come at a better time. We have been flooded twice, once in each of our buildings with very expensive fixes to help us get back in the buildings. And we've outgrown those two buildings on West Cedar Street. So when Nancy and Mike approached me and said, we would like to help CACS out and help these families, I was really overcome by their generosity. It has instilled in me much more hope and faith in humanity. Because watching the news really is quite depressing. And so, or any commercials recently. But so when they said that, we had just formed a building committee to look for a building. But then we were handed the land, so now it's become a construction project. We did a feasibility study on that property to make sure, could we build on it, right? Are there any bog turtles or native plants? The answer is no, so thank goodness for that. And then what size building could we build? What's the biggest building with all the variances for stormwater runoff and parking, right? So architect and engineer for that piece of the study gave us some answers on that. And then just last night, our board had a meeting and made a decision that we would use all of our efforts and the gift that we've been given to build the biggest building we can to sustain this organization for many, many years to come, no matter what new programs emerge, no matter what needs arise in the community, so that we could modify things like we've been doing when we have, you know, COVID happened in 2020. We made many modifications, but we continued to stay open and continued to serve people that needed us. The board has great leadership and vision to make sure that we do this one time and we do it right. So we will build the largest building that we possibly can on that site. And when we open, we'll be opening another program with the Chester County Food Bank as a partner. We will become a food distribution hub so that anybody in the food business in Southern Chester County can come get food to give away from us instead of driving out to the food bank. So we're happy to be a good partner in that way and provide the kind of warehouse space that you need for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited.
Very excited.
Yeah, so I imagine that coming along with that, there's an amazing amount of work that has to be done, right? And so, you know, what's CAX looking for? What are you looking for from the community as far as help and assistance to make that happen?
Certainly this building will be much different than the library. I'm on the Library Board of Trustees, and I'm so excited about this library being built. It's going to be amazing for the whole community to access and use. So it's going to be a very different kind of building. It'll be more utilitarian, the CAX building, because it doesn't need to be like the library needs to be. We have different things we bring to the community. So, you know, the support of the community when we start this project, or if anybody listening to me now says, you know what, I'm just going to write the check so we can get the building built, please, please contact me. So we are estimating from, you know, the other people that are smarter than me around architectural and cost and actuarial stuff, and we haven't determined the exact cost of it yet. But I think if you use government money, you know, you're using prevailing wage and the project becomes a little bit more expensive. So I would guess somewhere between $10 and $12 million maybe, but that's without verification from the actual professionals that know that stuff. Yeah. So that's just from this feasibility study and these recent conversations we've had. Plus, the world keeps changing radically around all this stuff. So who knows? But I think that we're going to do a feasibility study for the capital campaign portion. We're going to come reach out to the community. We're going to ask people to be interviewed and see what kind of support might be there for an organization like this. But I have to tell you, I mean, I know we're going to do the feasibility study, but I have learned since coming to Kennett in 2019 when I took the role that this community wants this organization open and doing its job. Somebody said to me during COVID, I think it was the Philadelphia Inquirer was tromping around with me for 3 days, and we tested 600 people in front of the resource center. And I had a food line going the other way around the block. And they said something about how remarkable it was that we did what we do. And really, quite frankly, I said, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think the community feels strongly about that because of the support they have always shown this organization. So we will do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that because, you know, it's just my experience with CAX has always been just it's an amazing partner to be able to meet the needs of individuals and of families and just the partnership together has just been absolutely beautiful. And
thank you.
We just can't say thank you enough for the way that you care for, you know, for people in our community. And we look forward to helping, you know, helping in any way that we can.
Thank you, because it's going to take every single one of us.
It is. Yeah. It is, absolutely. Nick, you had another question?
Well, I don't know if you want to go down this road, but I was interested in the Bridges Out of Poverty program.
Yeah.
And you talked about meeting short-term needs, but also trying to meet longer-term needs. I was just wondering what you do in terms of helping people get training for a new career, to develop some kind of financial plan, to develop financial management skills or planning a budget or managing their expenses, that sort of thing, which is going to help them in the longer term.
You know, this is the first time we've met, and I can't believe you're asking me these great questions. These are awesome. So I'm so excited to be able to tell you that we're growing our Bridges Out of Poverty workshops. So we have the Getting Ahead happening, right? That's kind of the basic. And there's some financial literacy happening in there, but it's interwoven with some other things where there's a lot of self-reflection for the individual and to think about, like, what can I do to help myself out here, right? And to understand that check cashing places are not your friend. And to understand some basic things like that. And so kind of looking at that and getting surveys back from the folks that have been attending Getting Ahead, we want to grow what we call Staying Ahead, which is a different kind of workshop that happens monthly. We want to add a mentoring component. So let's say, you know, I really am interested in going into nursing. Do you have anybody I could talk to about that? Like, what do I need to do? And taking this amazing core of volunteers and relationships that CACS has made over the years with so many people in this region and getting together a mentoring list. Like, if somebody wanted to become a pastor, can I connect them to you, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk to them about what's really involved here? What do you need to think about? Yeah. And so you put together this list of interesting names and career paths. I just started a financial literacy workshop series. We have a couple in the community who stepped up when they heard that I wanted to do this. So you attend the workshops for the financial literacy because how else do you get out of poverty unless you understand the national religion, right? Capitalism.
Yeah.
You don't really know how to get out of it if you don't understand that. Mm-hmm. So finance rates, how do I save for a house, down payments, credit cards, all that stuff, right? So financial literacy, we've partnered with one of the local banks and we started a pilot of this workshop, which we're going to start before the end of the year. You have to have completed all 16 weeks of Getting Ahead to get into my 4 weeks of financial literacy. Once you've completed that, you'll be eligible to save up to $1,000, and these donors will match that $1,000. So the household will have $2,000, and that's a game changer for families, you know. So that's just the beginning. Once we are able to get into the new building with real classrooms, because right now we're going all over town looking for space for our workshops because we can't do it on Cedar Street. But the new building will have classrooms and we'll be able to do things all the time like that.
That's great.
One of the great joys of my time here as pastor was they had Getting Ahead workshops here at church. And, you know, I got to attend a graduation ceremony. And like that was just such
Isn't that interesting?
It was. It was absolutely fascinating. And because I would stop in just to say hello and then I would leave because, you know, get out of the way and don't want to be an impediment to what they were doing. But the graduation ceremony was just incredible. And to listen to people share, you know, what they had learned in that time. And you could see there was just a confidence in who they were and where they were going. And like, this was not just, okay, I've got this done and I'm done with this and check this off and now move on to something else. It was, okay, I've learned something. I've got new tools to work with and now the world, you know, I'm going to make changes and this is going to change how I experience life. And I just think it's amazing.
Thank you. So I have a really interesting story. So my first graduation with Getting Ahead workshops, February of 2020, there was a family at a table. And we would pick up the dinner and I sat down and it turned out the father of this household of four people, mom, dad, and two boys in Kennett High School. Dad took the workshops, which I thought was interesting because guys don't usually like the self-help kind of thing, right? But the father took the workshops and he said, I'm so glad I did this. And the boys were so proud of their dad. He said, I feel like I can buy our first home now. I'm ready to do that. Yeah. And so that same guy, somewhere there in the beginning of April of 2020, when we were only able to distribute food boxes outside because of COVID. I pulled up to the food cupboard early one morning to get started, and that same fellow was standing outside the food cupboard. And I wasn't sure. He had a couple things in his hands, but I wasn't paying attention. And I said, oh, hi. And I recognized him. And I said, do you need some help? Do you need something? And he said, no, I'm bringing food to give to you.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, like, again, I was awed by that important relationship building stuff.
Yeah, and it's investing in, right? Investing in, and it's the transformation, it's the renewal, it's the rebirth that takes place. Whenever you take the time to invest in somebody, we see it happen time and time and time again. And I think it's the being able to say, I'm willing to invest. I'm willing to invest, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether it's your wisdom, whatever it is, I'm willing to invest in this individual, in this group, in this organization, because I believe that in that investing that I'm going to see rebirth, I'm going to see transformation, I'm going to see renewal. And there's just, we see windows, glimpses of it time and time again. And I think it's a beautiful.
I'm so glad you used the word invest, because it's really fascinating, right? We think a lot about the investment on the spiritual investment and the spiritual return about service to others, right? And some of the people listening to it, like, they totally get it, right? They already volunteer, they do things for the community. But then there are the people who say, well, what's the value of CACS in the mm-hmm. community? And because we're getting ready to do the capital campaign, we've been doing a little soul searching ourselves and some self-reflection. And I can tell you that we know now what the actual financial value is per individual of the food that we provide. And it's just over $72 a person in food. So if it's a household of four, it's times four that we provide monthly back into that household's pocket, back into this community. And the emergency services, our average per household is about $892 per household that we provide back into the community. And so I did some interesting numbers, right? I looked at New Garden Township, for example, and Kennett Township. CACS provides over $500,000 back into those households that live in those two townships. And, you know, we're currently looking at what we do for the borough. So when you put it like that, right, investment.
Yeah.
And we can talk about spiritual, we can talk about the financial, depending on what's important to people.
To people. That's right. Exactly. And it's all important. Like it all weaves together, right? And it makes a healthier community. And that's what's important. We need to be able to see the value of all of it.
And so, I think it was important for us to do that exercise, to be accountable back to the community that supports us, right? And that's important to me as a leader here, to always be accountable and very transparent.
Yeah.
People will want to see a return on their investment.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. To put it in capitalist terms.
And it's not bad to show that, right? And whenever we're able to show that, and I think it's helpful for people.
Sure is.
And if that's helpful, then fantastic. Let's show it and share it. And, you know, and then all of us, we can invest some more, right? And see great things happen. Well, Leah, listen, thank you very much. It's great having you. We could spend hours talking about CACS and, you know, the great things that happen at Kennett Area Community Services. But to all of you who are listening, if you're familiar with Kennett Area Community Services, what you've heard is it's just more affirmation of what you already know about CACS and the great work that they do. If you're new to learning about Kennett Area Community Services, let me encourage you to find ways to volunteer, to find ways to contribute. And remember, January, February, August are some of those food desert times. And if you're looking to do a food drive to help people out, those would be awesome times for you to do that. And CACS would certainly appreciate it. So Leah, again, thank you for your time. And until next time when we get together, may you all just experience and see and sense the Spirit of God alive and well and at work in your world.
Thank you.